today as we come to the table.
There's a lot of things I could share with you, but we could teach forever and ever. Paul was there, remember, in Ephesus for 3 years teaching, and he taught at the school of Tyrannus again for 6 days a week for two of those years. Some believe as much as 1,500 hours of time just pouring into them, not even talking about the other year of time he just spent with the church and with the people. So what Paul could teach would be innumerable hours and innumerable subjects. So what God led Paul to do was to say, look, rather than getting into everything, I'm going to hit some main things that are really important for pastors and leaders in ministry. But the most important thing is look at my life and imitate me as I imitate Christ, because that's what's going to last.
God's truth is like a deep well, offering endless wisdom for your journey. In today's message, Pastor Mark unveils how Paul spent years teaching, pouring over 1,500 hours into the Ephesians to equip them thoroughly. You might think he covered every topic, but Paul focused on what mattered most for leaders. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Hirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Paul's greatest lesson wasn't just words, it was his life. He urged others to imitate him as he imitated Christ. You're called to follow faithful lives that reflect Jesus. You grow by seeking to mirror those who mirror Christ. Are you imitate Christ's example as seen in those who faithfully follow him? Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts, chapter 20, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
You have your Bibles. Let's open them up to Acts chapter 20 as we continue looking at Paul being an example and a warning in ministry to the leaders in Ephesus. And let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this portion of Scripture and what it means, Lord, to me as a pastor. But Lord, not just what it means to me as a pastor, what it means to me as a sheep in your flock. And for those of us here, every one of us in this room, we are the sheep of your pasture. There's only one true shepherd, the good shepherd, Lord. We are under shepherds, and we have different things we're called to do, but it's the true shepherd we look to. And as we hear Paul today, God, I pray that we would hear your heart poured out to these men that he's sharing with and to us in this room. And again, not only how we as leaders are to deal, Lord, with your people, but also how we as your people are to view our leaders and to interact with them. God, this is so instructional and so important for the body of Christ. And I thank you, Lord, for what you did through Paul for these men. We're waiting on you, God, and we're excited about what you're going to say to us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, again, we look at part two today, an example and warning in ministry from Paul. And if you remember the setting, Paul's right now finishing up the end of his third missionary journey. Paul has been all over the region of Macedonia and Athens and Corinth and that whole area. He's now traveling back from Macedonia, back down to Jerusalem, and where we left off last week, going back to Jerusalem to celebrate the day of Pentecost. And remember, we talked about, although Paul said we're no longer under the law, and Paul was very much an advocate to fight against coming under the law, which didn't put him in a good light with the Jewish community of that day. But again, as a witness of Christ, that's exactly what needed to be preached. Although Paul was doing that, Paul was still Jewish. And so we've talked about it before. Just because even when a Jew gives their life to Christ and gets saved, it doesn't mean they stop being Jewish. So you're no longer under the law, but again, they're still living out their traditions and their cultures. And as long as it doesn't have a problem with the Word of God, there's nothing wrong in that. And Paul wanted to make it down for the day of Pentecost to celebrate with the people of Israel down there in Jerusalem. And again, remember, on his way, we saw that Paul last week had stopped off on the coast at a place called Miletus to have what we would say basically is a mini pastor's conference. And Paul wanted to meet with these pastors. Again, he didn't go up himself to travel up there to meet with them because he knew that his time was short to get down to Jerusalem and to make it down in time for the day of Pentecost. So he sent someone up there to go and get them and bring them back. And this was no small journey. It's about a 60-mile round trip, 30 up, 30 back. And again, Paul knew, it wasn't that Paul was afraid to travel. Paul traveled all the time. But Paul knew that if he went up there, it would not just be the travel time there and back, which his assistant would need to do anyway, but it would be the fellowship time and the ministry time, and it would have bogged him down, although it would have been important. He felt it was more important to be there for the day of Pentecost, which we'll see as we go on in the book of Acts. And I believe the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was leading Paul to do this and to get down there in time for what God had in store for Paul, which again was some trials and tribulation, but it was all part of God's timing. And so, again, Paul is calling this conference because Paul realizes by the Spirit, this is going to be the last time he's ever going to see them again. And these are his young leaders. These are his new leaders there in the Ephesus region. And again, that would be impacting that world and that whole area up there. And you can imagine what Paul felt like. Imagine if you knew this was the last time you were ever going to talk to someone, what would you talk to them about? And I think about, what if this was the last chance to talk to these guys at Calvary Chapel? You know, they would be a very, very heavily prayed for and thought out, seeking God, what do I share with them? What do I leave with them? And I see how God led Paul in this, because really what God led Paul to do is genius in ministering to these men. And I'm coming at it from a pastoral standpoint, because what he says is, look, there's a lot of things I could share with you, but we could teach forever and ever. Paul was there, remember, in Ephesus for 3 years. Teaching, and he taught at the school of Tyrannus again for 6 days a week for two of those years. Some believe as much as 1,500 hours of time just pouring into them, not even talking about the other year of time he just spent with the church and with the people. So what Paul could teach would be innumerable hours and innumerable subjects. So what God led Paul to do was to say, look, rather than getting into everything, I'm going to hit some main things that are really important for pastors and leaders in ministry. But the most important thing is look at my life and imitate me as I imitate Christ, because that's what's going to last. He said, the way that I lived before you for those 3 years, there's lots of teaching to do, but look at me. How did I interact among you? How did I conduct myself as a pastor? How did I deal with the flock? How did I deal with the unbeliever? How did I deal with the authorities and officials in Ephesus? Because you watched me do this for 3 years. And we know he knew everyone from city officials all the way down to the lowest servant. He was very involved in Ephesus. And so what I think so good about this, it would be like saying, look, this is my last time of sharing with you. There's not a certain topic I want to pick. I just want to say, hopefully I've been a good enough example for you now without me to move on in Christ. That's what Paul was saying. I want you to be able to move on without me. I can remember when I was sent out by our pastor and we planted here in Knoxville. And I'm from Tennessee, but I lived out west for about 7 years in Santa Fe. God had sent me out there for training for ministry, which I didn't know at the time, but after the fact I realized, and then God sent us back here. And I remember coming back thinking, well, I don't have my pastor right there with me all the time to ask questions anytime that I want now. Certainly I could call him, certainly I could do all those kind of things, but God began to minister to my heart and say, Mark, it's time for you now to learn to walk as a pastor on your own. Not that you don't need other pastors and other people for counsel. We always need that, and we always need support. That wasn't the point. The point was is that now you're going to have somebody holding your hand every day. This is how you do ministry. You're going to have to figure a lot of this out on your own, and that can be scary. That can be intimidating. There's a lot of things that go with it, but here's what it does. It drives you to God like never before. You depend on the Lord like you've never depended on the Lord. And Paul is now saying, I want you guys to look at my life and watch how I've lived, but now you've got to go do this. I'm not going to be here to answer your questions. Remember, Paul said last week, he said, I don't know what's going to happen when I get to Jerusalem, except everywhere I go, the Holy Spirit bears witness that trials and tribulation await me. So he knows whatever I'm going to, maybe I'm even going to die. Paul didn't know if he was even going to get killed right after this, which he didn't. He lived for a few years later, and Nero put him to death when he made it to Rome. But Paul didn't know. And so Paul is, again, just taking this moment to pour everything out that he can for them, and not just to show the example that he could be for them, but also Paul wants to give them warnings of things to watch for in the ministry. Now, again, I'm talking about this from a pastoral perspective, but because this was like a mini pastor's conference, and Paul's going to get into some heavy subject with the pastors, but you are also leaders in your homes. You're also leaders in your community. So these things are going to apply to all of us in this room, not just pastors per se. And in that, Paul says, look, there's things you need to know. There's warnings you need to have for ministry as well. Ministry is wonderful. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. There's nothing else I'd rather be doing. than serving God and the honor that God gives to be able to serve him in whatever capacity we are serving. And we all have that honor if we simply step out and say, God, what do you want me to do? But with it comes a lot of trial, a lot of hardship, a lot of difficulties. And Paul had been through that. He knew these guys had been through it. He knew they were going to be through it again. And he's warning them, not only that, you're going to have some things that happen, again, outside the body, within the body, in just life. You need to be ready for it. And so it's almost like you're preparing your kids. They're going on some trip and they're going to be hiking somewhere. You know what it's like in that mountain. You've seen some of the things they have to do, you know, and whatever the case might be. And so you're trying to prepare them. Be ready when you come on this area. And that can be slippery right there. And watch for this because you care about them and you want to give them the best instruction that you can. Remember how I told you to guard yourself and stand and walk and, you know, whatever the instruction you've given and any analogy you want to use. This is where Paul is with these guys. And so where we ended last week was Paul in mid-teaching here in Miletus, again, 30 miles in from Ephesus, right in the middle of a pastor's conference teaching. The pastor's listening intently, and that's where we take up in verse 25. Notice what he says. He says, "And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I've gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more." That would have been a heavy statement. Not just a heavy statement for Paul saying, I love you guys and I'm not going to see you guys anymore, but for them going, what do you mean we're not going to see you anymore? Is this the last time? I can remember the last conference that Pastor Chuck did, and it was, I think it was in 2013, out in California, and being there at the conference and thinking, you know, I was thinking this may be the last one he does. By that time, you know, we knew that he had cancer. We didn't know how far advanced or how much longer he'd be able to teach or what was going to happen, but just literally hanging on to every word. Taking every moment thing, and this is our example. So how do we carry this thing on? Once he's gone, we don't have Pastor Chuck to look to. I can remember, you know, there's these major issues that come up in the church. On the minor issues, they're a lot easier to know what to do. There'll be issues that come up, and you look at the Word of God, and you pray, and God makes it pretty clear from the Word, this is what I need to tell the people at Calvary Knoxville, or this is the decision I need to make. But sometimes there's these church issues that pop up every so many years that you look at, and you go, what are we supposed to do? What is the answer for this? I can remember the last one was when the COVID thing went through. Should we shut down? Should we stay open? There's all these questions, and that's the time you go, where's Pastor Chuck? It's like, where is he? Well, he's in heaven. Okay, so, and I say that tongue in cheek, we're to be looking for the Lord, and we know that, and we are looking to the Lord. But it's good having someone that is so mature in the Lord, that has been through so much, that you can say, what's your outlook on this? What's your viewpoint? He was always that for us, and every time we gathered for a pastor's conference, in those times where those big church questions were there, I kid you not, every time the most amazing wisdom that God gave him. And I'm not trying to I'm not lifting up Pastor Chuck. I mean, God knew, these are my pastors all over the nation. I want my pastors all over the nation to know how to handle it. And I think I can say, honestly, I think the majority, if not all of us, we didn't know what to do. But God would give him wisdom. And I think that was one of his gifts. He had a gift of wisdom. And he would just give the answer. You're going, wow, that is just the right thing to do. And it was such a refreshment. Paul's now there telling him, I'm not going to be that guy anymore. This is my last pastor's conference. I don't know what awaits, but I know trials and chains and troubles await me. And so I want to pour everything I can. And you think, what would you say if it was your last time? Paul's in that moment. And again, Paul's not going to share the it says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He's going to say, the way that I lived, I want to show you my example. So he's been pointing out his example here. Last week we saw it. He's going to point to more of his example here, but also give the warnings as well. And begin to continue to pour his heart out to them. He says, you're not going to see me anymore, so you're going to have to walk on your own, in other words, with the Lord. And he says in verse 26, therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For, here's why, I have not shunned to declare to you, note this, the whole counsel of God. What an amazing statement. Paul here says, I'm innocent of the blood of all men because I've declared to you the entire Bible. That's what he's saying. He says, the teaching over the last 3 years, I know that I'm innocent. Why? Again, because I didn't hold anything back. Everything the Bible said, I gave you all of the Bible. And what a great thing to be able to say is that I've taught you the entire Bible. And I don't think that anyone can say that until they've done it. I remember after the first time we made it through the Bible, we're now the third time through, but I remember the first time through, I think it happened in April, and I remember when we got to the end of that, it hit me. I can say now with Paul, I have not shunned to declare to you the entire counsel of God's word. And although I was doing that in the process, I realized until I finished that, I can't make that boast. And it's not a boast like a prideful thing. Paul's not bragging here. He's not going, I took you through the whole Bible. Paul's saying, look, God commissioned me to give you every bit of his counsel. And I'm going to stand before him one day and give account for that. I can now stand before God with a clean conscience and say, I am guiltless of the blood of all men that I've spoken to in Ephesus because I taught them the entire counsel of the word. And I love this, again, because notice it means he didn't just teach portions of the word. He taught them all the word. Did you know there's a difference in teaching from the Bible and teaching the Bible? It's wonderful to teach from the Bible, but it shouldn't stop there. We also need to be teaching the Bible, and that is from Genesis to Revelation. And there's no pastor that can say, I have not shunned to declare to you the entire counsel of God that hasn't done that. And what breaks my heart is I hear, and I understand, people are in different places, and when I was younger, it takes time to get through there and be able to do that. But I've heard pastors and others say, well, we definitely don't do any prophecy, and we don't go to those certain areas, and we don't need the Old Testament anymore. That pastor can never say, I'm innocent of the blood of all men because I've not shunned to declare the entire counsel of God's word. He can't say that. And I want to say this too. When somebody says there are certain portions of the Bible they don't want to teach, listen, John 1:1 says this, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, which means Jesus was the Word of God manifest to us through himself, through the body of Jesus Christ. He's not paper and ink and all that, we know that, but he was the Word manifested. And here's what this means. If you want to get all of Jesus, you have to see all of Jesus. And that means from Genesis to Revelation, that's all of Jesus. And if there's portions of it you leave out, you're leaving out part of Jesus. If there's places you refuse to teach, you're refusing to teach parts of Jesus. How many of you are okay with Jesus having only one arm? I want all of Jesus. And Paul says here, I held none of Jesus back. I gave you Jesus, every bit of Jesus that we have, I gave the entire counsel. And he says, because of this, I am guiltless of the blood of all men. And again, what's interesting to me is if he says I'm guiltless of the blood of all men because I've taught the whole Bible, what does that mean for those of us that haven't taught the whole Bible that stand in the pulpit? Are we guilty in some degree of some things? I don't want to get too heavy on this, but remember who Paul's talking to. Why is he doing it? These are pastors. And I can tell you, when I've been to pastors' conferences and you see the leaders get up there that have things that God's put in their heart, man, sometimes they come in and lower the boom. Pastor, what are you doing? Why not? I mean, again, it's love, it's grace, it's building the pastors up, don't get me wrong, but there's a sense of responsibility. There's a sense of saying, look, you better be doing what God's asked you to do because one day you're going to stand before him. And I know this, I may not be the best teacher in the world, but when I stand before Jesus, he's going to know that I took the body here, at least those that were here during that time, through the entire Bible from beginning to end. And I have a clear conscience on that. I think that every pastor needs to have that. Paul said, I have that. I've not shunned to declare all of it, so I'm guiltless before God. He says, therefore, because of this, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. That is, you've been well taught. So because you've been well taught, take heed to yourselves and to the flock, among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. This is just jam-packed. Again, for a pastor, this is like nugget after nugget and responsibility after responsibility, but also for any of us that are serving God, it applies to us. Notice he says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to the flock. The first thing Paul says to his pastors, and I would say to us as the body of Christ is, first we need to make sure that we have our act together before we're able to serve anybody else and teach them. That is, the pastor's got to be walking with God if he's going to try to lead anybody else into the things of God. There's a responsibility there. It's not perfection, but it's a matter of saying, look, I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to seek God the best I know how. And then I'm going to go when I have the log out of my own eye, right? Then I'm going to go and be able to minister to others. So basically, get the plank out of your own eye would be a great way to say that. Make sure you've got your walk right with God. Make sure you're walking with the Lord in weakness and all of being a man. I get that. But then once you have that in order, because you can't really minister unless you're there first, once you do that, then watch over the flock. Make sure they're walking with God. I love that whole thing. The Bible says, know the state of your flocks. And so every week we have the pastors get together and we have what is called a state of the flocks meeting. And we talk about all of you behind your back. We don't gossip, but we talk about how so-and-so doing, how the surgery go, and hey, how's that happening, whatever. And maybe there's whatever that we try to say, how's the state of the flock? And we try to know how to pray and how to try to minister. And again, there's always going to be some that slip through the cracks and these kind of things. But our job as leaders is to do the best we can to make sure that we're walking and then to make sure that the body of Christ is walking as well. And that goes with the territory of just kind of being called into the ministry. And again, I think more than just called into the ministry. Again, I think also it has to do with us on a personal level, all of us. And so he says, this is what we've done. And notice also, he says, I love the instructions he gives here, because he says, don't only do that, but among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Who put your leadership in place? The Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean that your leaders are better or more special or flawless, but it means that if you see God's hand working through your leadership, God is the one that put them there. God chose your pastors. He chose the leaders over different areas. And so he's saying, look, God made you an overseer. The Holy Spirit made you an overseer. The point to them was this: take it as a serious responsibility. Because if the Holy Spirit said, all right, I want you to do this, you need to do it with all your diligence and make sure you're doing it with all your heart to the Lord. Why? Because he says this. He says, because he purchased it with his own blood. Notice he says he's called you to shepherd the church, but whose church is it? He purchased it with his own blood. He's saying, you didn't purchase it with your blood, Pastor. Nobody in here purchased this place with his blood. Jesus purchased his church with his blood. And now God says, this is my church. I own it. Keep your hands off of it, Mark. It's not yours. Your job is simply to show up, to teach them, to feed them, to love them, to minister to them, and to be accountable to me on that day that you stand before me. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. Now, nobody can really be a good shepherd like the Lord. There's one good shepherd, and that's Jesus. And by the way, if you look too much to your pastor, he's going to let you down. Any pastor will. There's no such thing as one true good shepherd but Jesus Christ. But I want to encourage you guys, don't be too focused on your pastor. Yes, there should be an expectation of a person living for God, or he shouldn't be there. But your focus needs to be on the true shepherd, Jesus Christ, because your shepherd may let you down. He may miss an appointment, a meeting, a phone call, a prayer time, or something that you, well, I thought he'd handle this that way, whatever. You've got a shepherd that will never let you down. And his name is Jesus Christ. He's the good shepherd, and your eyes have got to be on him, gang. They've got to be on him. That's where they have to be, because if your under-shepherd falls, what happens? If you're looking at your under-shepherd and he falls, a lot of times that makes a lot of other people fall with them. It should never be the case. It should be more of a broken heart, and our heart's broken for our pastor or the person that fell, and we pray for them and pray that God restores them. But at the same time, we need to be saying, God, my eyes are on you. It's you that I'm following. These are simply your helpers that are doing the best they can. But don't get too focused on the leadership. Your focus should be on the leader, which is Jesus Christ. He's the true shepherd. But at the same time, because why? He purchased it with his blood. He owns it. He's the one, again, that takes care of it and gives us the accountability to stand before him and give that accountability one day. Now, it's interesting. A lot of times I think people say, what is it like to be an under-shepherd, to be a pastor? If you're really serving the Lord and your heart's fully in it, it's not an easy thing. And I'm not going to say that. Look, all of our lives have difficulties. I know that. I realize that. But I've had people actually say to me, it's only happened once or twice over the years that I can remember, but they say, so, you know, what do you do every other day after Sunday? Usually I just golf, you know, or I'll go swimming or do whatever. Guys, listen, when God calls you in the ministry, it's constantly going. It's something that's going 24/7 around the clock. And I don't say that in some kind of, you know, that's not a boastful way. I'm just saying, if you're going to step in and serve God's people and serve the Lord, you're going to need to be diligent and you're going to be busy. That's part of it. And Paul is saying to his guys, listen, recognize this. You need to be busy. Shepherd them.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Throughout the New Testament book of Acts, we see how the early church grew through faith, perseverance, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Despite opposition and persecution, the apostles and early believers remained steadfast, spreading the gospel with boldness and love. The Christian journey isn't meant to be lived out alone. From the very beginning, God designed His church to be a community of believers who support, encourage, and strengthen one another. Are there Christian brothers and sisters in your life who have walked alongside you in faith? Have they encouraged you during difficult seasons and helped you grow in your relationship with Jesus? Take time today to thank them and to thank God for placing them in your life. Be a source of encouragement to others, carrying each other's burdens and demonstrating the love of Christ. Come to the Table is the broadcast ministry of Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. If you'd like to visit us in person, we'd love to meet you. Service times can be found on our website, thewaymedia.net. Again, that's thewaymedia.net. Just scroll down and find the link to Calvary Knoxville. If you can't make it in person, you can still join us online. We stream our services through the Way Media app, which you can download from your app store or directly from thewaymedia.net. That's all the time we have for today, but we pray that you've been encouraged by our study in the book of Acts. We look forward to having you join us again next time, right here on Come to the Table.
Come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.